Ed Kinane is a longtime anti-war and militarism activist in Syracuse. Ed has done human rights work in several war zones and has been arrested many times. On Tuesday, September 24, six members of Upstate Drone Action were arrested while expressing grief over the recent U.S. drone attack in Afghanistan, responsible for killing at least 30 pine nut workers and for the numerous other civilians slaughtered by the United States Air Force and the United States government. Holding a banner which stated, "Drones fly, children die, our hearts are breaking," the six members of UDA, Upstate Drone Action, requested the Sheriff's Department enforce the law and stop the killings by the drone assassination program conducted at Hancock Field near Syracuse and other United States Air Force bases across the nation. So, Ed, can you tell us about your arrest this past Tuesday?
Well, there were more than six of us, but six of us were willing to be arrested and refused to leave the base when the local police and the base military told us to leave. It was entirely nonviolent, but what we had done was standing there with our banner, which is about 8 foot by 5, bold letters, across the ingress to Upstate Drone, across the ingress to the entrance to Hancock Air Base, which is the home of the 174th Attack Wing of the New York National Guard. Well, we were arrested, and basically we were, you know, booked and arraigned and held for over 10 or 11 hours in the downtown Syracuse jail. And we actually had a court date last night in which they claimed we weren't on the docket. So we've yet to learn when we'll have an actual trial date or a motions date. The six of us all had been arrested before at Hancock Air Base, some of us many times. The theme of our action was, as you said, drones fly, children die, our hearts are breaking. That was also the theme of our similar action back on June 20th. But this time, the wrinkle was our hearts, you know, drones still fly, our hearts are still breaking because children are still dying.
Right.
We are mindful that in Afghanistan, I think it was 30 pine nut harvesters were massacred by U.S. drones recently. But that's just one of many, many such massacres over the past 10 years or so by U.S. drones.
So as you mentioned, you've been doing this for 10 years, had a number of arrests. Unfortunately, the drones continue to fly. Why do you continue to persist in trying to stop them? And do you think you're having any impact?
Well, it's hard to know. It's a very clandestine operation at Hancock. So we don't get to talk with any of the chain of command there, or indeed any of the drone pilots there. And they're not acknowledging either what they do or what impact our protests may have. We've been at it since 2010. Does it have an impact? Well, we're trying to educate the base personnel to what they're involved in, because I think many of them are probably pretty naive or just indoctrinated. But also the public, you know, that drives by on this busy road, East Molloy Road in the town of DeWitt. We do understand that the military is having a very hard time recruiting drone pilots and a very hard time getting them to re-enlist. We like to think that our demonstrations and our actions have some impact on the thinking of potential drone pilots. But we can't know for sure, except that the National Guard has acknowledged, you know, that that protests across the country, and there's a number of them besides our Hancock protests, seems to be having an impact on the morale of, you know, drone personnel. and on recruiting.
Now, recently, you know, there was a situation in Saudi Arabia where in their ongoing slaughter, I guess some would say, of Yemen, drones were used to knock out a significant part of their oil production, and it seemed like America was, at least the leadership, was horrified by the concept that drones can now be used as weapons. Has that at all impacted upon the discussion or the awareness of the situation at Hancock Air Force Base?
Well, I've long held that proliferation was one of the real problems of this drone technology. That, of course, if the U.S. starts using drones as indiscriminately as it's had, as widely as it has all over the world, you know, other nations, if only in self-defense, or other entities, not even nations, are also going to be using drones. And the recent Saudi situation is a very good example of that. It's like atomic energy, atomic bombs. They just don't stay with one country, but they proliferate, adding to the danger of all of us. Now, I have this notion. I have no evidence for it, but I'm wondering if the attack on the Saudi oil fields was a false flag action. In other words, who benefited by it? Well, I would suggest, and I'm no expert on this, is that maybe it's U.S. oil companies benefited. So maybe that attack really was prompted by nefarious U.S. Elements. Because what this does, that attack, it raises the price of oil globally. And who benefits from that? The major oil companies.
Now,
anyway, I just put that speculation out there.
Now, you mentioned the at least 30 pine nut workers recently killed. And as you also mentioned, there's been many other situations where the drones have mistakenly, you know, killed civilians, not having anything to do with any of the fighting. How is, you know, international, you know, legal bodies like the United Nations or International Criminal Court responded to this ongoing killing of innocent civilians? We have about two minutes.
They name it as breaches of international law, which, I mean, it's very clear. Obviously, assassination and assassination of civilians is immoral and illegal by international law and by U.S. law. Now, you said killed, you misquoted me as killing civilians by mistake. I'm not sure these are mistakes, but rather a form of U.S. terrorism. The so-called war on terrorism is really a war of terrorism, and the weaponized drone robots are the, you know, a major tool of U.S. terrorism for the whole, you know, Islamic oil land region. I mean, it's led to vast numbers of refugees trying to flee this terror.
So, you know, given that, you know, this is a serious problem, but there's also some existential threats being posed right now, both by climate change and by nuclear weapons. Why do you continue to focus on the drones as a, you know, a particular point to work on?
Well, personally, this is kind of in my own backyard, you know, Syracuse, New York. I live in Syracuse, just a few miles from the base where this is happening. And my ally, my fellow activists here from across New York State and beyond, so there's a certain local concern with what's going on. And if we don't do something about it, who will?
So, Ed, if people want to find out more information about the work on the drones, you know, are there websites to contact, and, you know, are there public officials they can try to lobby on this?
Mm-hmm.
About,
well,
40 seconds.
Upstate Drone Action has a website, upstatedroneaction.org. John Amidon in the Albany area has been very with us from the beginning, does video of our events, and if you get onto his website or his YouTube account, you'll see actual video footage of our actions, which some of them are pretty creative.
So Ed, I want to thank you, Ed Kinane of the Upstate Drone Action, for joining us, and this has been Mark Dunley on the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.